Dr. Keith Saunders.
All right, if you'll let me be a little facetious right here, I'm going to tell you why I wanted to vote. I'm a sociologist by training, but I'm an odd sort of sociologist, and I'm an antisocial sociologist. So when the opposition to the legalization side comes out and promises things, and they say it's going to be awful, they say carnage on the highways, the kids smoking joints more than ever before, more heroin addiction, more unemployment, lower property values, all sorts of horrible. I'm voting for that. When they promise me the death, destruction, murder, carnage on the highways, shorter life expectancy, all sorts of stuff, I vote for that. What do I get? Less heroin addiction, rising property values, less unemployment, increases in tax revenues collected by states like Washington and Colorado, and soon like Oregon and Alaska. What do you get? You get a healthier society. This is not what I voted for. Kevin Sabet told me that all crap was going to happen. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And it didn't. We got the opposite. We got exactly the opposite of what they promised us. So I ask you this. When they say, again, bad things will happen if we get legalization in Illinois or New York or Massachusetts or California, just remember, they were 180 degrees wrong last time. Chances are they're going to be wrong this time, too. Yes, thank you, folks. Legalize that. On a more sincere note, I have to say this. You folks in Washington, I know the politics, I know the background and the struggles that you've gone through regarding I-502 and how there's been this division within what was once a more unified reform culture. What I can tell you is that by the passage of I-502, I was kept out of jail in New Hampshire. Right? Believe it or not, when I was in New Hampshire, which is a crappy state, live free or die my ass, it's, we are going to lock you up because you had a joint in your car, right? And so possession of cannabis in a car, possession of paraphernalia in a car, these are severe misdemeanor offenses that carry jail time and thousands of dollars in fines. When the police officer pulled me over, he didn't even get to the window when he said, when's the last time you smoked marijuana? And it was such a shock to me because I expected license and registration, please. Do you know why I pulled you over? Excuse me, sir, are you drinking this evening? No, this is just like, boom, like, I'm going to intimidate and scare you. Well, I looked up at him, cool as a cucumber, and I said, excuse me, because I literally did not understand what he said. So he barks at me again, when's the last time you smoked marijuana? And I looked up at him, and I knew that he didn't have a match. He was not going to be a match during this encounter. I just needed to keep things cool. So I said, it's been a while. Now, this is in February. I was back here in Washington in December and January, and I bought legal cannabis, and because it was my first time ever doing it, I saved the receipt. So when I go to see the attorney, he's like, well, the foundation of the search is you admitted to having used cannabis. I said, yes, it had been a while. Here's my receipt when I was in Washington. Here's the tax I paid. I'm glad that I paid that tax and had that receipt, because when I said it's been a while, it had literally been a while. Guess what? I'm innocent until proven guilty. Your entire search is without foundation. No jail time. Minor little, sorry about that, fine. Excuse me very much, sir. Excuse me very much. I'll be more careful in the future. And I realize 11 miles to the south of where I was pulled over, possession of cannabis in a car in Massachusetts is not probable cause for a search. If they smell it, it's not probable cause. If they see it, it's not probable cause. If you pass it to your friend left and right, it's not distribution. If they see weed in a car, they can't use that as a foundation to search unless they can see visibly that it's going to be more than an ounce. It's a beautiful thing to have that. It's a beautiful thing to have the reforms that we got. Take the ones we got. Take the ones we got because they're helping out people, not just yourselves. You're helping out people around the country. The other thing that you need to help out, the other thing you need to help out is HempFest, right? It is a, you know, it's a rough market out there. It's a rough year. And I've seen these folks suffer losses before. I know the bravery, the dedication that some of the core staff have demonstrated, where they have taken out second mortgages on their house to make sure that HempFest would persevere. I don't want anybody to have to do that. I think everybody, if you can just throw in 10 bucks as you walk in for the day, which is a really cheap cover for what you're going to get, you're going to do a lot to help it out. So make your donations, make your contributions, volunteer, help out HempFest. Keep pushing for the legalization you want, because it's the only way you get it. Get out of 2012, Steves. It's 2015, and we're fixing things. You either fix it now in the present, or you can live in the past in resentment. I go for the present. We're going to go forward. We're going to legalize it nationwide. We're going to have ourselves the biggest victory party you have ever seen. A million people gathering peacefully, enjoying themselves, getting high, and staying high. You folks stay high. Have a great HempFest. Be safe. Be sure to throw some dollars into those buckets, please. Thank you very much.